How's everybody doing? Do we have anybody here for the first time? Welcome. We usually ask first timers to come up here and tell us why they came. No, I'm only kidding. Hey, we're going to do something tonight. We have a quiz tonight, and I want to get y'all, make sure you don't get old and crusty on me. How many of y'all want to be old and crusty? That church is another place down the street, I think. We're going to do something that we usually do at the 7 o'clock service. We usually don't do it in any other service, but I've been doing it all day just to kind of give you a flavor. We're going to do the wave in church. Amen? Now, when you do the wave, you got to get in the wave position, which is the same as the quiz position. What's the quiz position? Put your booty back in the seat. Tell the person next to you, put the booty back. Basically means to sit up straight. Now, the thing about the wave at church is that we require, and of course, we can't make you do anything. We don't want to claim to try to make you do anything, but we want to make you believe we can. We would like 100% participation. What does that mean? Everyone say everybody. Okay, so if someone doesn't do it, especially next to you, kind of just say, come on, you know, get a life and let's do the wave, okay? We don't want to be little crusty old people, right? Here we go. Y'all going to start over here. Can y'all handle that? Okay, it's very simple. It just goes like this. Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. And you just go like this. Word. And just go all the way around the room, okay? Are y'all ready? Can you handle it? Here we go. Are y'all ready? Yeah. Say, Jesus. Here we go. Wait, was that satisfactory? No. We need full extension in the legs, full extension all the way up. And we gotta get some volume. Amen. Say Jesus. We need some volume. Here we go. You ready? Full extension, young lady, okay? Well, I'm going to ask that. I got you. I ain't trying to call you out, okay? Next time I'm going to ask you the name and tell everybody your name, okay? Here we go. You ready? Yes. Okay. Here we go. Word. There we go. There we go. That's better. Now, one, two. Now, this is something you've never seen anywhere on earth. As a matter of fact, if you've ever seen what we're getting ready to do, it originated here at the Rock Church. Know that. It's called a slow motion wave. Now, the best thing about a slow motion wave is that it's hilarious to watch the other people do it. Because, you know, you have to be able to laugh at yourself if you come to church because they just look funny, okay? I will demonstrate. You never do this except with adult supervision. Okay, so just watch the other people. It looks so silly. Here we go. You ready? Very good. Fast motion. Word. Are we getting full participation from this section over here? I didn't think I noticed if you got up, young man. Okay, let's check this out. I'm looking at you right now. Are you ready? Here we go. Word. All right. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Okay, you can put everything away. We're going to do the quiz. We just need your mind. How many of you have never been in one of our quizzes? Okay, here are the rules for the quiz. Again, full participation. We're going to ask you a question. If you know the answer, say the answer. If you don't know the answer, just wait and I'll tell it to you. Then I'll ask you again. We'll do it multiple times. And the more you speak, the more you learn. Don't worry about if you know the answer. Just say whatever comes to your mind. Your brain knows more than you know. Your brain knows more than you know. In other words, you are not aware of all that your brain knows. And if you just let your mouth speak, a lot of times the right thing will come out. Well, sometimes the wrong thing comes out. But today we're in church. Everything will be right. If you make a mistake, just laugh. If I make a mistake, which I always will, you laugh. Okay, so when I make a mistake, just laugh and we'll keep going. Mistakes are not bad. Okay, so overrated. So they're a good thing. You learn from your mistakes. Amen? Amen. First five books of the Bible, let's say Genesis. Exodus. Leviticus. Numbers. Deuteronomy. Okay, do we have full participation? Look to the person next to you, say, I can't hear you. Here we go, let's do it again. Say Genesis. Say Exodus. Leviticus. Numbers. Deuteronomy. First five books. Now, when the Jews got to the book of Deuteronomy, they were in the plains of Moab. When I do this, this is Moab for Moabs. This is Moab, okay? So they were in the plains of what?
Moab.
In the plains of what?
Moab.
So after the fifth book, Deuteronomy, they were in the plains of Moab. I'm going to give you three J words. Jordan. Say Jordan.
Jordan.
Who won American Idol last year? Jordan. Very good. Jordan. And then they went over the Jordan River. Say Jordan.
Jordan.
Say the book of Joshua.
Joshua.
Just say Joshua.
Joshua.
And then say Judges. Three J words. So you get Genesis.
Genesis.
Say Numbers.
Numbers.
Say Deuteronomy.
Numbers.
And the plains of?
Moab.
Then they cross what river?
Jordan.
And then the book of?
Joshua.
That's okay. Make a mistake. It's fine. Okay. After they cross the river,
Jordan.
Then there's a book of?
Joshua.
Because Joshua was the man who led him. Moses had died. Now Joshua's in charge. And after the book of Joshua, you had?
Judges.
Say Judges.
Judges.
Say Judges.
Judges.
Say it three times. That's the seventh book of the Bible. Now, when Joshua died, God started handpicking the leaders, and those are called judges, not kings. Before they had kings. And so the time or period of the judges was about 300 years, and God would say, you lead, Samson, Gideon, Deborah. They were all individual judges. It was about 13, 15, depending on how you count, and Samuel was the last judge. But they would pick hand-delivered men and women to lead. So that period lasted for about 300 years, and it started when Joshua died. Remember, you have Deuteronomy, they crossed the River Jordan. Then you have the next book, Joshua. Joshua dies. Then you have this period of the Judges, which is the next book. The period of the Judges lasted about 300 years. Now, the period of the Judges started when who died? Say Joshua.
Joshua.
The period of the Judges started when who died? Say Joshua.
Joshua.
One more time. The period of the Judges died who?
Joshua.
And then it ended when you had the first king. And the first king was Saul. Say Saul.
Saul.
First king was who? Say it again.
Saul.
Wash my hand.
Saul. Saul.
Very good. You got to wash your hand, Moses. Everyone, okay. The first king was who?
Saul.
Very good. So the period of the judges started when who died?
Joshua.
The period of the judges started when who died?
Joshua.
And it ended when who became king?
Saul.
It ended when Saul became
king.
Right, because you had judges and then you had kings. You didn't have both. It was one or the other. Okay. So let's do the first five books of the Bible. Say. Over,
Jordan.
And then you had the book of?
Joshua.
The book of?
Joshua.
And the main man in that book was?
Joshua.
Then Joshua died. Then you had the?
Judges.
Judges lasted about how many years?
300.
Very good. It ended when who became king?
Saul.
Very good. Now, during the time of Judges, you had the book of Ruth. Ruth, and all the ladies say, Ruth. And then the book of Ruth was a man named?
Boy.
Fella say, Bo.
Boy.
Give me some punch. Give me some testosterone, physical punch. Very good. Ladies, say Ruth. Okay. This, very good, very good. The book of Ruth is a romance. A romance is about a woman in distress. A woman in what? Okay. Is it true? Yes. It's a woman in distress saved by a hero. Say hero.
Hero.
So the more the distress of the woman, the better the romance. Okay, if he saves her from this big tragic thing, it's better. I'm just talking about movies and TV, right? So a romance is when you have a story about a woman in, saved by a
hero.
Say distress with conviction.
Distress.
And saved by a
hero.
Now, in the book of Ruth, Ruth was a woman in distress. We'll see in a minute. And the hero was a guy named
Boaz.
Now, say Boaz. His name is Boaz, but we call him Bo. Say Bo.
Boaz.
Now. Boaz, in this book, is called a kinsman redeemer. Everyone say kinsman.
Kinsman.
Say kinsman.
Kinsman.
Kinsman means relative. Kinsman means what?
Relative.
You ever heard a term, that's my next in kin? Okay, kinsman means relative. Say relative.
Relative.
And a redeemer is someone, a redeemer is a deliverer through payment. A redeemer is what?
Deliverer.
Through I say what, you say deliverer. I say through, you say payment. A redeemer is a what?
Deliverer.
Through.
Payment.
A redeemer is a what?
Deliverer.
Through.
Payment.
A kinsman redeemer is a, kinsman means? And a redeemer is a?
Deliverer.
Through.
Payment.
A kinsman redeemer is a relative who delivers you through payment. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. God came down and became a man and became our relative. He became blood, flesh and blood like me and you. He redeemed us, bought us back. He delivered us from our sin by his payment on the cross. Are you following me? So this story is about a kinsman redeemer who is Jesus Christ. And what he is going to do for Ruth, Jesus did for us. He's going to buy back her right for her land and blah, 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 blah. And so we're going to see that in a minute. Okay, so everyone say Ruth. Ladies say Ruth. Ruth. Fellas say Bo. Now, Ruth lived in a place called? Very good. Ruth lived in a place called? When the Jews walked around for 40 years and from Exodus to Deuteronomy, they ended up in a place called? Right, and then they crossed what river?
Jordan.
They crossed what river?
Jordan.
And the next book in the Bible was? The next book in the Bible was? And during the time of, let's back up. They crossed the river?
Jordan.
And the next book in the Bible was?
Joshua.
And the next book in the Bible was?
Judges.
Very good. And during the time of the Judges, you had the story of the woman named? Who was a woman in? Very good. And she was saved by a? And in this story, the hero is called a what? Two words, starts with a K. And a kinsman is a, and a redeemer is a what?
Deliverer.
Through,
Amen.
Say deliverer.
Deliverer.
Say deliverer.
Deliverer.
Say deliverer.
Deliverer.
Very good. So Ruth says, Ruth is in Moab where she lives, and Naomi, her mother-in-law, and her Jewish mother-in-law, Ruth is a Moabite. They're in Moab, and her husband dies, her mother-in-law husband dies, her sister-in-law's husband died. Three men die, and you have three widowers. Naomi says, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 50 miles, about 50 miles from Moab. How many miles from Moab?
50.
How many miles from Moab?
50.
If you walk from Moab 50 miles, you're going to get to a city called?
Bethlehem.
Say Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
Say Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
So Naomi says, I'm going to go back to my homeland. Ruth says, I am going to go with you. I'm going to leave my people. Your people will be my people. Your land will be my land. Your God will be my God. Everyone say people.
People.
Say land.
Land.
Say God.
God.
Ruth said to Naomi, your people will be my people. Say people.
People.
Say land. Your land will be my land. Say land.
Land.
Your God will be my God. Say God. Okay, Ruth said to Naomi, I'm going to leave my people, and your people will be my people. Your what will be my what?
People.
Your what?
People.
Your what?
People.
Your what?
Man.
Your what?
God.
And she left and went back to Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem, who was born in Bethlehem?
Jesus.
How do we say Jesus here at the Rock?
Jesus
was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is two Hebrew words put together, bet, which is house. Everyone say bet. And then be careful how you say it. You may spit on the person in front of you. Say, lahem. Let's say it again, lahem. Okay. Yeah. Bet, lahem, house of bread. Lahem is bread. House is bet. Like Beth-El is house of God. El is God. Beth-El. Bethlehem is house of bread. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus is the bread of life. He was born in the house of bread. Okay? So they go from Moab to Bethlehem. How many miles?
50.
When they get there, they don't have any money. Ruth and Naomi's husbands are dead, and they don't have any money. So Ruth says, let me go glean. Everyone say glean.
Glean.
Say glean.
Glean.
Now, if you look behind me, you see the picture of her on her knees. When you go glean, you go in a field where some farmer is farming. And if he's farming like apples off a tree, if an apple falls on the ground before he can catch it, he has to leave it there by Hebrew law, Jewish law. So they would leave it for the poor people because they always wanted to provide for the people who didn't have. So if you were poor, you can go and glean behind the farmers, and whatever they dropped, they had to leave there, and that was for the poor people. So Ruth says, let me go glean anywhere I can find favor. Now, how many of you ever heard of a man named Ken Blanchard? Ken Blanchard. Anyway, you ever hear the book, The One-Minute Manager? Okay, how many of y'all have a job? How many of y'all manage people? You should go get The One-Minute Manager. It tells you how to minute manage in 1 minute. Bam, 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 bam. Sold millions of copies. He wrote a lot of books. He's a leadership guru, and he's about 65 years old. I met him when he was 64, and we're meeting at this breakfast, at this little cafe. And here's a 60-something-year-old man, and he's walking like this. Now, I didn't know if he was hurt or he was just trying to be cool. I don't know what he was doing. And I said, Mr. Blanchard, why do you walk with a limp like that? Are you trying to tip me? What is that? And he says, well, I hurt my knee. I was playing basketball, and I hit my knee on the rim. So it's just a little swollen. So I thought, this brother's cool, right? This brother's cool. So we're talking, and we're just having a conversation, and I noticed that he was dropping all this knowledge, this wisdom. So what I started to do is just kind of reach in my bag, pull out my pen, and write some notes. Because what I was doing was gleaning. As he was talking, all this knowledge was just dropping on the table, all in the cafe, and I didn't want to waste it because it was good information. So whenever you're around somebody that has more information than you, you glean information. So what Ruth was doing, she was gleaning food, okay? She comes to the field of a man named Boaz, and we're going to call him Bo. All the fellas in the house say Bo. Boaz was a tall, dark, and handsome brother right over here with the big guns and the big old nose. We started his nose up top by his forehead, and that's him, though. And he comes, and he sees this woman. He sees her gleaning on the ground, and he goes, and he does something for her, three things. Everyone say the letter S. Say the letter F. Say the letter P. He gave her security. Say it. Friendship. Provision. Say it again. Look at the person next to you and say, security. Say it. What happened was when you glean, you're in this field and you could be by yourself because it's not your land. And it's a very dangerous occupation. Boaz goes over to him and says, hey, Ruth, you see those guys over there? I told them not to touch you, so you don't have to worry about it. You see those women over there? You could hang out with them. They work for me. You see that food, that water over there? Anytime you want water, you can go over there and do that. He provided for her security. Say security.
Security.
Say friendship.
Friendship.
Say provision.
Provision.
He did all that all before he met her. And the Bible says that what she did is she bowed at his feet. Now, when I say she bowed at his, only the guys say feet. She bowed at his what?
Feet.
And all the ladies, give me the cat claw. Okay, don't get ahead of me. Just rear back. Take a deep breath in. Give me the cat. Rick. What that means is when I say she bowed at his feet, you go, I don't like that. Okay? But here's what you need to know. Boaz, he gave her security, friendship, and protection, and she bowed his feet because she was so blessed. Because Boaz, this is serve. Boaz served her before he required her to serve him. Boaz did what to her?
Serve.
Before he required her to do what?
Serve.
He honored her before he required her to honor him. He did what to her?
Honor.
Before he required her to do what?
Honor.
Fellas, if you honor your wife and serve your wife first, she will not bow down your feet to worship you, but she will respect you. She will serve you if you serve her. She will honor you if you honor her. If you talk to any family counselor, how many of y'all are not married, by the way? Raise your hand if you're not married. Very good, very good, very good, very good. All these young single people got a whole lot of time on your hand. If you if you know a marriage, family, child counselor, they will tell you that a lot of their marriage, family problems is because the guy is like this on his family. Thumb down. And he's not a servant of the family. I'm not saying if you serve your family, you're not going to have any problems. I'm not saying that. But a lot of problems come from the guy's like, you need to do what I say. That wasn't Jesus' model. Jesus, as the groom, he came and he loved us first. He died for us first. While we were sinners, he died for us. And so Boaz, what he did is he looked at Ruth and he asked some questions. Did a background check. And then he went to serve her and then she responded that way. Now, another thing he did that was very wise, he did a background check. If you're single, someone wants to date you, I encourage you to do a background check. And I'm not saying you got to go to government, get a fingerprint and DNA. If you can, that'll be great. But since that's not really practical, you might want to find out who they dated. If, you know, if some guy comes to you and says, hey, girl, what's your name? You say, no, what's your name? By the way, what is your social security number? Who did you date last time? And let me have her number. You think I'm lying? Because here's why. It will save you a whole lot of headache. You know nothing from looking at someone's appearance. You know nothing from them saying hello to you. And, you know, I talk to kids all the time who date, and they think they're in love, and they go, oh, no, we're in love. I says, okay, that's good. I said, no, we're gonna be together. I says, you have no idea what you don't know. You don't know Jack. You really don't know them. You're so small. What Boaz did he did a background check, and he realized that this woman was a woman of integrity. Why? Because what did they tell her? They said, that's Ruth. She came from? How many miles away? And she came back with Naomi because her husband, and she's taking care of her mother-in-law. And he asked around and found that this woman was a virtuous woman. All the ladies say virtuous. Say it high. Give me this. Miss Thang-ish. Say, I'm virtuous. Give it to me. And he says, I found out this about you. Now, usually you will attract the kind of people that you are. If you find yourself attracting, I'm talking to guys and girls, if you find yourself attracting knuckleheads, that may mean maybe. I'm just hypotheticalizing. If you want a really good girl, be a really good guy. If you want a really good guy, be a really good girl. If you want a really godly person, be a godly person. One, they will notice it, and two, that's what you'll see. And so Boaz, which was a man of God, and Ruth was a woman of God, it just so happened that they ended up together. And so they got together, and then she comes back and tells Naomi, I met this guy, his name is Boaz, and she says, Boaz is a relative. He's a kinsman, and he could be your kinsman redeemer. He can get your land back, all your property back that you lost when your husband died. And so here's what Naomi says to Ruth, listen, tonight Boaz is going to be on top of the hill. He's going to be harvesting his wheat. When he's done, he's going to go to sleep. After he goes to sleep, after he's finished all his work, go down and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. All the ladies say, hey. But it's not like that. See, your mind's in the gutter. So what happens is she goes, uncovers his feet, and what she was doing was saying, I am submitting myself to you as wife or riblet. She says, take your maidservant under your wing. This is the wing. You put your arm around your woman. I'm not talking about choke holding her like that. I'm talking about just like this. Rib, she is your riblet. The woman is the rib, came out of the, made from the rib. So the wife is the riblet, and the man is the giblet. So you're saying, I want to be your... So she uncovers his what?
Feet.
She say feet.
Feet.
It's love.
Love.
Virtuous.
Virtuous.
Say it loud. Say feet.
Feet.
Love.
Love.
Virtuous.
Virtuous.
Only the ladies say virtuous when we get there and say it high. Everybody say feet. Say love.
Love.
Ladies. Very good. So Naomi, the Bible says, Naomi says, Ruth, you know, wash yourself up, put some smell good on, put some nice clothes on. The Bible does say this. Okay, it does tell her to anoint herself, get cleaned up, and go down there. And then, you know, after gleaning all day, you know, she's got all, you know, stuff all over her from gleaning. And she gets all purdy up, and she walks up there, and she uncovers his what? She submits her what? And But it's okay, go ahead and laugh. I'm secure. And then Boaz says, all the people in the town know you are, ladies. That's right. Do you know that everybody that knows you pretty much knows about you? Do you know that everybody you know has an opinion about you? Everybody you know has an opinion about you. Now, sometimes those opinions are wrong, but there's an opinion. And that opinion is drawn by what you say, what you do. And again, people blowing out, everyone else got their own issues with how they filter that information. But everybody has an opinion about you. Well, Boaz said that about her was everybody knows you are. Ladies, give it to me. That's a good reputation. Amen? Guys want to mess with a fast girl, but they want to marry a slow girl. You want to have the virtuous reputation. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Oh, man. Amen.
So, here's what he knew about her. He knew that she was a godly woman. Let me give you an example. Especially if you meet somebody, how you could know for sure that they love you. This is a foolproof way for you to know if some guy loves you, girls too. But you know both ways. If you love God, the definition of love God is to what God? Say obey. If I want to be blessed with everything God has for me, which I do, I don't want your blessing, I want mine. And God has enough to go around. If I want all the blessings God has for me, the only thing I have to do is obey God. If I want to be blessed, the only thing I have to do is what, God? Say it again.
Okay.
Say it again.
Okay.
The time of the judges started when who died? And it ended when who became king? Very good. Just make sure you're paying attention. So if I want to be blessed by God, the only thing I got to do is what, God? And that means if I want to do get blessed by God, if I love God, the definition of loving God is obey God. So all I got to do is love God, which means obey God. If I want to love you, I need to help you do what to God? That's it. So if somebody says they love you, the first question you need to ask is, are you able to help me obey God? Are you trying to get me to obey God? Are you qualified? Do you know my God? Now, we all have different gods. They're not all the same. They are not all the same. You may think, well, all roads lead to God. What God is that? Because all the roads are different. Some roads are going that way, and some roads are going that way, and some roads are going that way. They all don't lead the same place. God is not schizophrenic. He knows who he is. That's why he said, I am that I am. And so when someone says, well, I have a faith in God, you want to know who that God is, because some people worship themselves. Some people worship their money. Some people worship their ideas. Some people worship freedom to do whatever you want. And that is not the same God as the Bible. And so just because someone says they love God, you want to know, well, who is that God and what does loving that God mean? And what the answer you want to listen for, if you're a Christian, by the way, is that the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Old Testament, same as the New Testament, Jesus, and loving him means obeying him through that word. If you got that, now you got a good start. But if someone says, well, it's whatever, whatever, stop. Because there are people who love people in very perverted ways. People love children in very perverted ways, and they're in jail. But they call it love. People love other people by talking behind their back. They call it love. So you always want to know what kind of love and where that love's coming from. And so if someone says to you, I love you, or you want to pre-interview them, you want to ask them, what does love mean? Now, does it mean that a person who doesn't have a relationship with God can't love anybody? I'm not saying that. We do have a version of love. That's why God made us in his image. But it still has to be consistent with the word of God. Even non-Christian people can love people, right? But when God's in their life, it takes it to another level. Okay, so it has to be consistent with this word. Honesty. Humility, service, not talking behind people's back, you know, just basic character stuff. And so you always want to clarify. So if I love you, then I need to be helping you obey God. I can't be trying to get you to do something to violate God's word and loving you, because that act is not an act of love. Now watch this. If I point to myself, you write, say self. If I point out, you say others. Say it again. Say it again. One more time. Very good. Lust desires to please at the expense of, because lust wants to get. Lust desires to please at the expense of, because lust wants to get. Lust does not want to please God. Please self. Okay? Love, on the other hand, wants to please at the expense of, because love wants to give. Jesus died for us. Wasn't doing him any good. He died for us. So he surrendered himself, humbled himself for us, because he wanted to please us. So if someone is trying to get you to do something that violates his word, that act, I'm not saying they don't love you, but that act is not an act of love. It's an act of lust or selfishness. And so when Boaz did a background check, he said, that woman, I believe, believes this, loves this God. She did a very unselfish act by leaving her land, her people, and her God. And she has a good reputation. And he came and he served her. And then she served him. A very good start for a relationship. So what he had to do, he had to go consummate the deal. He had to go as a kinsman redeemer. Kinsman means what?
Relative.
Say relative.
Relative.
Everyone put your hands in the air. Take a deep breath in. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Very good. A kinsman is a what?
Relative.
Very good. He had to go to the city gate. Say gate. If you look to my left, you see him at the city gate. He's doing the transaction to marry her. He goes to the city gate. He talks to the elders. Say elders.
Elders.
Say it again.
Elders.
Say it three times.
Elders.
Very good. He goes to the elders and he gives them his sandals or his shoes. Say sandals.
Sandals.
Here's why. There was one relative closer to Ruth than Boaz. So he had to go to that guy and say, do you want to marry this girl? And he said, no. So now he said, I want to marry her. So he went to the city gate, where the business transactions took place, and he went to the city. And he told him who he was, and he says, I want to marry her, blah, 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 and he gave him a shoe. Why did he give him a shoe? Because when you walked on the ground, in order to claim land, you would walk on the ground, one of the ways. He told Abraham, everywhere your foot trods, that will be your land. And it's like your foot was recording your property, okay? And if you give someone your shoe, you're giving them the property recorded by your shoe. When Moses stood before God at the burning bush, what did God tell Moses? Take off your what? Here's why. Because this ground ain't yours. This is my ground. This is holy. So take your shoe off and don't be trying to claim it. Okay? And so when he made the deal, they said, here's my shoe. Take off the shoe. And so when Bo, I'm all jacked up today. When Boaz went to consummate the deal, he went to the city, at the city. Everyone say elders. Say gate. And he gave him that sandal. Say sandal. Very good. Say city what? City what? Say it three times. And he talked to the city. And he handed them there. Very good. Then he married a pagan bride. Say pagan. Say poverty. Say honor. Say pagan. Say poverty. Say honor. Whisper. Say pagan. Say poverty. Say honor. All the ladies say virtuous. Jesus came down as our kinsman redeemer, and he married a pagan bride, non-Christians. He purchased us or redeemed us from spiritual poverty that he may honor us. That's what he did. And there's many other things how these two relate as a kinsman redeemer. So say, what kind of bride? Say pagan. And he redeemed it from what? Say poverty. And he can what? Honor her. Say honor. Say honor. Say honor. Okay, sit up straight, tell the person next to you ready for the whole time, the whole thing. Are y'all ready? Okay, first five books of the Bible, here we go. Say, Genesis. Look at the person next to you, say Genesis. Genesis is the book of? Beginning. Everyone say beginning. Beginning. That's why it's the first book. Say Genesis. Then the Jews were in Deuteronomy. They were in the plains of what?
Moab.
Ruth is from where?
Moab.
Moses died where?
Moab.
Watch this. On Mount. No, this is Sinai for sinuses. This is Nebo. Okay. This is sinuses. Sinai. Mount what?
Sinai.
And this is?
Nebo.
I was at a football game in this. Girl was behind me. She was sitting in the stands. She goes to the church, and I was quizzing her. I said, you know, where did Moses get the law? And she went, Sinai. Okay. It does work. So say Genesis. Jordan what? Okay, don't say Jordan Sparks. Jordan Sparks. The next book is?
Joshua.
The next book is?
Joshua
dies, and the next book is?
Judges.
And the judges went into the first what?
King.
The first what?
King.
The first cat? And who was he?
Saul.
Very good. And during the time of the judges was a book, ladies, called? Which is the next book in the Bible. The book is called what? Say it again. Very good. And in the book of Ruth is a romance, and romance is about a woman in the? Say by? And this book, the hero is called the Kinsman Redeemer. What kind of Redeemer? And kinsman means?
Relative.
Kinsman means?
Relative.
And Redeemer is a what?
Deliverer.
Through?
Pain.
A Redeemer is a what?
Deliverer.
Through?
Pain.
Very good. Ruth was from a place called?
Moab.
She was a place called?
Moab.
And she said, I'm going to leave my people, my land, and my God. She said to Naomi, I'm going to leave my
people.
And your
people
will be my?
Your
will be my. Your will be my. So she went to glean. Glean was when you picked up the stuff off the ground that the farmers. You picked the stuff off the ground that the farmers. So she comes to the part of the field of a man named what? Fellas? That guy right there. Say Boaz. Say Bo. She comes to the part of the field of Bo. She's gleaning on the ground, and Boaz does three things for her. He provides SFP. He provides what? Then what? Then what? And yes, say it again. And then Ruth, fellas, she bows at his. Ladies, give me the claw. We got late a little bit. I'll give you the rear back, and then we'll do it together, okay? Okay, she provided what for Ruth? The S? She bows at his? Fellas only. She bows at his? Say it like you mean it. Say it like you want it. And then, ladies, give me the rear back. Very good. I practiced some of the stuff at home, so I walk around and, you know, kind of make myself laugh. So I was, my wife and daughter were in the kitchen, they were talking, and I was just over there going, so my daughter goes, what are you doing? So I came home and said, here's what I'm gonna do tomorrow. And she looked at me and went, that's not funny. I said, just watch. She'll be here next service. Boaz did what to her? Say it again. Before he required her to. He did what to her? Before he required her to. I had a couple come up to me after service this morning, and the guy says, you know, it was really good. He came with his wife, took a picture, and he says, we're having problems. They were both smiling. They were having problems, but that really helped. And I said, yeah, if you serve her, just love her. Just whatever. I don't know anything about what y'all are going through, but just love her and encourage her. And things will be, it'll be easier for you to deal with whatever you're dealing with, and it really will. You don't have to be right. You just want to do right. There's a big difference. A lot of times we have to be right. Don't worry about being right. Worry about doing right. And those two are not the same. And sometimes doing right is saying, I'm sorry, even when you're right. It really is. Because you may be right about what happened, but you may not be right about how you dealt with it. And how you dealt with it is more the issue. And so you want to do right instead of worrying about being right. Okay, now, love. If I love God, I need what to do God. If I love God, I do what to God? If I love you, I help you do what to God? Very good. Lust desires to please at the expense of, because lust wants to get. Love desires to please at the expense of, because love wants to give. Love, right? Okay, very good. Kinsman Redeemer. Kinsman means? Redeemer is a through, say it like a conviction. Through, one more time. Through. So Boaz goes to the city and talks to the city, and he gives them his, and then he marries a what kind of bride, and redeems her from what? He redeems her from what? That he may do what? Very good. Give yourself a hand. Here is my challenge to you. Two things. One, read the book of Ruth. Before tomorrow, this time, it would probably take you a half hour if you even wanted to read it tonight. It's only four chapters. It's during the book of Ruth is during the time of what? Say it. Judges. Say it. Judges. Very good. And during the time of the judges, people did what was right in their own eyes. Very good. So read the book of Ruth. It's four chapters, and see how much of this stuff you can remember and put the pieces together. There's a lot more to the story than what we talked about today, but this will give you a really good framework as you're reading. You go, yeah, I remember that, and you'll really enjoy the story a lot better. That's number one. Number two, go buy a ticket to the concert for the Katinas. I know you see the Katinas all the time. We want to support them, and one of the reasons they want to make this DVD is because they want to export their experience here to other places, because they go to churches all over the place, and they say, what we experience here with your people, we don't see other places, and even the altar calls and all that goes on here. So we want to support their ministry as well, and actually, it's going to be a concert, so they're going to have their, it's like an hour and a half or 2 hours, it's their brand new album coming out that we don't hear in church, so come and support, go buy a ticket outside. Amen? Amen? Oh, one more thing, if you could open up your bulletin. Can someone give me a bulletin, please? I just want to read something. Thank you very much. Open your bulletin to the inside left flap. There is a new ministry happening for a very specific, select group of people. And so I'm going to read the description, and you could decide if it is you, okay? It says halftime. Y'all see where it says halftime inside the left flap? Okay, significance, not success. There are a lot of people who have been successful in the world, and they're in the second half of their life saying, you know what, I want to do something significant. It's one thing to make money. It's another thing to make an impact. Those two things are not necessarily connected. Are you looking for a God-sized adventure? A new group is forming at The Rock to help life-seasoned leaders with God-softened hearts to bring game day experience to God-sized opportunities. If that's you, they're going to sign people up at the table outside, and they're having their first meeting this Tuesday. So if you are a life-seasoned leader and you have something, you want to make a significant impact in society, let me tell you this. There are opportunities that if the Christian community was to network and leverage all that God has given us for the kingdom of God, this country and world would be different. And our society is constantly telling us to be quiet and to be in a corner, and yet you see the other agenda, and I say other agenda, the non-biblical agenda, however that expresses itself, and expresses itself in many ways. People talking about different gods and all this stuff. We have the truth. We have the truth, and we don't leverage it. And so if you say, you know, I've been successful in my life, and I've had these opportunities, I have these connections, whatever, this wisdom, this experience, and I want to attach that to a ministry or to something God's doing, go to this meeting. Because it's amazing how much can happen if you strategically work together and leverage yourself. When you divide people, you can't get anything done. But when you work together, a lot of stuff can happen. Amen? And we want to do some stuff in San Diego. A perfect example, we want to have church services in nightclubs downtown. And what I mean by that, you know, on an off night, just get the nightclub. And there's people who have nightclubs that say, come in. We'll charge you very minimal or nothing, and we'll close the bar down, and you can just have at it and invite people to come to the club. Why would we do that? Just because we can, and to bring the Word of God into the world. And then invite people to a nightclub and come in and get the Word of God. There'll be music, the Word of God, altar call, everything we do here, except in a small environment downtown where usually the devil's doing his business. And so we have many people down there who are saying, come on over here. We'll let you. And to me, now you may not get excited about that. That's fine, because we can't fit anybody there anyway. But I'm really excited about it. You know, and there are people who are excited about it. And there are people who will say, why don't you come to so-and-so nightclub? And we're going to, you know, our pastor's going to be down there. We're going to have something. He's going to go at a nightclub. And they go, okay, I just want to see what that is. Exactly. And there's many ways we can network with each other to get the gospel out. It's not just like doing church services. As a matter of fact, most of the things we're talking about is not church service, but it's ministry. And so if you want to do that, we appreciate it. Amen? Amen? And go get a ticket. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. You are so amazing, and we pray that you bless us. I pray that people read the book of Ruth, and I pray that they are fascinated at how much information that they now know and how they can connect the dots. And I pray that you would speak to them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Say hello to someone new when you walk out.